I used to love the, and I've mentioned it before, I used to love the what's that guy's name? Did the family, Keys to Family Relationships? Gary Smalley. And you remember how he used to do this, this honoring thing? And he would go and do these big conventions, and he would pass around the Stradivarius violin. And everybody, I mean, if you know nothing else about music, you probably know that a Stradivarius is a kind of instrument that was made by Stradivarius years ago, and it's worth bundles, and it's very valuable, and it's just one of the best that there is. And so he would pass it to somebody, and people would go, oh. And he was saying that that's the kind of attitude we ought to have towards one another. And ultimately, that's the kind of attitude that we really should have with our children. Oh, you're a child of God. I mean, isn't that sweet? That makes a big difference. And I remember, I used to love to do that with our kids and embarrass them, because, you know, that's always nasty when your parent comes in and goes, oh, what a privilege to be at the same dinner table as you. You know, and then they'd flick their potatoes at you, and, you know, it was over. But that's one of the things that we want to do, and we want to talk about it briefly today, is to honor one another. Romans 12:10 says, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Well, that's a tall order. I mean, how do we outdo someone else in showing honor? Very often, we find ourselves sort of being like the hall monitor and measuring off the little bits of honor that we're going to pass on to somebody. We just don't operate under the principle that I'm going to try to outdo somebody in offering honor to somebody. You know, we sort of sit back and think, well, should I really honor this? I mean, just think of all the unhonorable things this person has done. Why in the world would I honor them now? And yet the Bible doesn't say, I want you to, you know, to look at somebody's life and evaluate it and then give them a little bit of honor based on the good things that they've done. Oh, I'm glad that God didn't do that with forgiveness for my life. You know, I'm going to measure against you the things that you've done and the things that you haven't done. And, you know, and you sort of have to work hard to make sure you keep stacking up the good things so that the forgiveness and God's grace will come. Well, he doesn't tell us to do it that way. And he doesn't tell us to do it in such a way that in such a way with other people as well. Well, so that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to go through it pretty quickly. I have just three questions that I'm going to talk about. The first one is what? What is honor? What does it mean? What is affection towards fellow believers? And what does it mean to honor each other? Well, what is that? The words that are used, that Paul uses in that passage, they're love and brotherly love, and they're really emotionally laden words. The first word that he used is love is a comfortable thing. Does anybody here have a good old comfortable sweater that they wear? Or, you know, yes, there's one. I often see these people going shopping with their comfortable sweatpants and shirt. You know, the kind of stuff you really shouldn't escape out of your house in. But there they are, and it's sort of that old sweater, the chair that you've sat in for decades. You know, you sort of feel comfortable in it. I mean, you sit down there and it's good. It's like having a friend. Have you ever been with some friends or people, and you know, they're the kind of people that conversation can end and you still feel comfortable. You know, you don't feel like, oh boy, I better think of something bright to say so they don't think I'm a dummy or a dolt or worse yet. But you can just sit there and you can be comfortable with them. That's the first kind of love that Paul is saying here. The second thing, brotherly affection, it's just what it says. It's the affection that comes in a family kind of setting after a long experience together. Oh, of course, we have squabbles and we get mad at each other, you know, and there might be a hole in the wall every once in a while. But, you know, but let some bully pick on your brother or sister, and what do? You rise to the occasion. Because there's that affection that is just there. And So that's the kind of thing that he's talking about. And this is what we're supposed to have for each other in the church family. As believers, don't react by saying, well, I can't do that. There are too many weirdos and goofballs around that, you know, I can't love them with that kind of love. But God's commands they're just there. We need to do it. The reality is that we can't simply do it ourselves. We need God in our lives to be able to love other people. Sometimes people will say, love people, but I don't have to like them. You know, have you ever heard somebody say that? And that's sort of the stoic Christian attitude. Yeah, well, I can love them, but I don't have to like them. And somehow we think we can get away with that. And that's not what God is saying. That's not what Paul is saying here. He's saying that we need to treat people in such a way that we honor them. Some honoring means treating people better than they deserve. We need to do that. I can't find anywhere in Scripture where it says, you know, just do it on your, you know, just love them as much as you can. And if you can't love them really well, then, well, that's okay. Paul I'm just getting behind here. Obviously, we need God to do it all. And Paul uses an example. I mean, in those days, they had slaves, right? And he was telling the slave that he ought to love their masters as worthy of honor. Wow. Can you imagine telling a slave that they ought to honor their master as worthy of honor? I mean, that just didn't work. That's just not the way that people treated one another in those days. And then he's saying, and then he goes on and he talks about, you remember this part where he was talking about the parts of the body and the parts of the believer's body, the church family, and saying that how some parts, we think some parts are less honorable. Remember we talked about that last week when we were talking about serving one another, and if somebody doesn't serve in a big upfront way, somehow their service might not be the same as somebody who serves in a big upfront way. And we said, you know, that doesn't cut it in God's kingdom. You're serving, everybody's the same. The same thing is true. We sometimes put sort of categories on people and we say something like we're going to bestow greater honor on something that's, you know, someone somehow that's more prominent. And that's not what it's about either. And that's not what God wants us to do. So honoring is not always a response to something or someone being honorable and what they do. It's what we are called to do. There is no place where it says that you ought to give out only half measure of honor to anybody, a believer that's in the church family. And then we get to the thing, what does it mean to outdo one another in showing honor? I think it sort of means that we ought to prefer to honor somebody rather than being honored ourselves. We should spend more time thinking about how we can honor someone rather than waiting to be honored ourselves. Over the last few weeks, we've talked about several things. One, encouraging one another, serving one another, loving one another. And all of those things sort of combined to honoring others. So we should be spending our time looking for ways that we can encourage other people, that we can serve other people, that we can love other people, and in so doing, we're actually honoring other people. And Paul writes in the Bible that that's what we ought to be doing. So how are you doing? That's what it is. If we ask to answer the what, that's what it's doing. Sometimes we want to honor people that maybe, or we want to show our honor to these people who are maybe, maybe a step above other people. We only want to honor one kind of person. And James wrote about that. He says, for brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and says, you sit in the good place, while you say to the poor man, you sit over there, or sit down at my feet, have you not made the distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers, has God not chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. So what is honoring? Honoring is sort of like the justice, the lady who stands on the pedestal in justice with a blindfold on and holds to the balance beam because, you know, justice should be blind. Well, honoring should be blind. We should honor all people. Don't pick the people who have the dough. That's no way to go. Don't pick the people who can sort of get you in the door somewhere, so you're going to honor them. The Bible says that's not the way to go about it. What is honoring? Honoring is honoring other people, encouraging them, serving them, loving them, just as we read in the Bible. Well, the second one, and I want to move on quickly because we're going to come around the Lord's table here. So why should we do this? Well, lest you think that this is the kind of thing that I've sort of dreamed up, I want to tell you that God commands that we love with affection and that we honor each other, as we wrote in Romans 12:10. I mean, this is what God commands us to do. It's not something that we can think, yeah, well, I'm going to do it. You know, I'm good for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, but the rest of the week, watch out, I'm going to live on my own. It doesn't work that way. And God calls us to this. He says that we ought to honor one another. So we need to be that way. Affection is natural because the new birth means that we've all been born into the same family. We're all in the same family, in God's family, right? And we have one father, we have brothers and sisters in this big family. And we read in these words, everyone who loves the Father loves whomever has been born of him. So the question is, if other people in the midst of the church family have been born of God, which ones don't you love? And which ones aren't you going to honor? Because God is telling you, you've been called. You've been called to love them. You've been called to honor them. There isn't a believer sitting here today that you haven't been called to love and to honor. Does that mean somebody might not rub you the right way? Yeah, most likely. You know, that's going to happen. Does it mean you don't love them and honor them? Not at all. And in fact, if you decide you're not going to love and honor them, probably you're doing the greater sin than they did in the first place. Do you see how that works? I mean, it's almost frightening, isn't it? And if you think that you can do it on your own, you know, we run into a big difficulty because, you know, if you're anything like me, you know, elephants have long memories. And somehow we remember the things that we need to be people that learn to honor. Well, the second thing that we read is that God demands that we love with affection and prefer to honor each other. So we read this in 1 Corinthians 14. Well, my brothers and sisters, let's summarize. When you meet together, one will sing, another will teach, another will tell some special revelation God has given. One will speak in tongues, another will interpret what is said. Everything that is done must strengthen all of you. So everything that we do for each other in honoring them is meant to do what? Strengthen each other. So when you get the opportunity to use your tongue to give someone a lashing, tearing them down, strengthening. Which one is it? It's tearing them down. That's not what you do in the Bible. That's not what the Bible says that you ought to do. Now, if you're going to call yourself a follower of Jesus, then you need to follow what he says and what the Bible says that you ought to be doing. You ought to be strengthening people. And when you bring something in the midst of worship, when you bring something to another believer, when you bring something to a gathering of believers, it needs to be something that will strengthen. Not something that's going to tear down. Because that's not what it's about. Does it mean that we just sit around as milquetoast all around and agree with everything? Not at all. But when we challenge each other and when we do it in a way that's honoring. And it's honoring. And we need to be about that. Well, pressing on. The third. God demands that we love with affection And we prefer to honor rather than being honored. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, and forgiving one another, as God and Christ forgave you. Tenderness of our relations, it's rooted in the tenderness of God and Christ. When we elevate someone by becoming their servant, and you elevate somebody when you become their servant, we are painting a picture that of the way that Christ was amongst us. That's what Jesus did. He was amongst us. I'm just going to keep skipping ahead here. God demands, the fourth one, God demands that we love with affection and honor each other because this lures the world to Him. Do you know, the scripture verse there, in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. You know, in an article written by Stephen Neal, actually it was a book called The History of the Christian Mission, he writes this. What you see is that the remarkable growth of the early church in the Roman Empire was owing, under God, especially to the kind of community they created. Not in communes where they went off and lived in isolation and nobody saw them, but in networks of loyal, loving, humble, affectionate, respectful, sacrificial relationships. The fearful and fragmented pagans saw it and were drawn to what they were doing. So I have to ask the question, are people drawn to what they see in the midst of First Baptist Church because we honor each other? You know, even though our world has progressed by so many centuries since the early church, I still believe that that's a powerful draw upon other people's lives in our world. That they see a group of people as diverse as we are. And folks, we are diverse. There's no getting around that. But we can still honor each other. And that will draw people together. So, last thing, how? Simply, we need to preach to ourselves that no matter how imperfect other believers are, and of course we know how imperfect all those other believers are, don't we? No matter how imperfect they are, they're the children of the Father. And we need to be serious about caring for them. We need to look for evidences of God's grace in their lives and build on those things because that's what God is doing. And remember that at one time you were once utterly alienated from God. And it is only by God's grace, only because God has called and reached out to you that you've been drawn into His presence. And so this chapter in Romans 12, it started off by saying, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God. It's by the mercies of God that we will love each other with brotherly love and brotherly affection. It's by the mercies of God that we will outdo each other in showing honor to other folks around us. We need to be people who are affectionate with one another. And affection for God's people, it will grow, and it grows amongst us only as we cultivate it and only as we let it take and become the primary thing that we do. I'm going to invite the worship team to come and to lead us as we come around the table. You guys are ready to do those things, right?